friends, and welcome to season four of A Meaningful Mess podcast. I am so honored, so excited that you decided to listen, and I hope that you enjoy what you hear. I'm your host, Andy McNair, and I am a wife, mom, author, digital innovation specialist, and passionate educator that believes in today's learners. I'm so glad that you found the podcast, and I can't wait to share manageable and meaningful ideas for you to utilize in your classroom and beyond. My hope is that the ideas and strategies shared each week will help you find meaning in your mess. After you listen, please feel free to subscribe, rate, and share the podcast with anyone that you think might find it helpful. You can also connect with me over on my website at andymcnair.com, on Twitter at McNairAN3, and on Facebook and Instagram at A Meaningful Mess. Thanks for being here today. Let's get started. Well, hey, you guys, welcome back to A Meaningful Mess podcast. I am looking forward to sharing today, partly because we're going to be talking about one of my favorite topics. If you listen to the podcast often or you're familiar with my work, you may be thinking that we're going to talk about Genius Hour. We're not. So I should clarify, we're going to talk about my second favorite topic, and that is just the idea of engagement. And we're going to kind of take a deep dive into what engagement is. We're going to look at Philip Schlechte's levels of engagement, and then I'm going to give you three practical questions, simple questions that you can ask yourself every day to know if your learners are truly engaged. You know, I oftentimes say that as we sit down as educators to design experiences for our learners, the first thing we have to consider is how will we ignite a willingness to invest? Because without a willingness to invest, without engagement, it's really difficult, almost impossible, to get to the opportunity to learn. When we are giving our learners content or helping them understand or learn a standard, they have to be invested in that in order to understand. And so engagement plays a huge role in the classroom. And I think that one of the mistakes we often make as educators, one of the mistakes that I made when I was in the classroom, is confusing engagement and compliance. I think those two can look the same. And oftentimes, I'll be honest, if my students were quiet or they were making eye contact with me or they weren't being disruptive, sometimes I assumed that they were engaged. And you guys, nothing could be further from the truth. I look back on that now, and I can think of so many learners who, you know, we would get to the end of the learning experience, or we would get to the end of that opportunity to learn, and they would have no idea what I just said, or no idea how they were supposed to do whatever it is that they were going to do independently. And the reality is that's because they weren't engaged. They were just being compliant. They were just going through the motions. And so many students do this day after day that it's really important that we just continue to have this conversation. So as we do this, we're going to start with Philip Schlechte's levels of engagement. And we're going to kind of talk through this. And even if you've heard of these before, and you probably have, I think it's a good idea to just remind ourselves that these exist, because as educators, it helps us see, okay, I can think about my learners and I can kind of think through where they are on this spectrum of engagement. And that's exactly what it is. It's this idea of being on one end, completely detached, rebelling against what is being asked of them as learners, all the way to where we want them to be, right? The ideal situation where they are truly engaged in the learning experience and willing to invest. So we're going to talk through each one of these levels, what they look like. And as we do that, I want you to do exactly what I just said. Think about the learners that you have in your classroom right now and where they may fall. In fact, it might be beneficial to think about a learner that you are especially having trouble with right now. Is there a kid that just isn't understanding whatever it is that you're doing in class? Or maybe they are a behavior problem, or I don't know what that is, but understanding where they fit in these levels of engagement, I think, can move you toward a solution for that learner so that we can get to that level of engagement that is necessary for them to understand. Okay, so we're going to start at this far end of the levels of engagement, and we're going to talk about rebellion. And Philip Schlechte shares that rebellion is really diverted attention and no commitment. So these are those kids who aren't just sitting there and making eye contact, but oftentimes they're a behavior problem. They are doing whatever it takes to not have to do what you're asking them to do. Sometimes that is, you know, leaning back in their chair. It's a physical thing. Sometimes it's talking or being a class clown or just disrupting in any way that they can so that they don't have to commit to the task. So rebellion is really this idea of, it's not just a matter of I'm not paying attention, but I'm actually disrupting so that I don't have to pay attention. So diverted attention and no commitment, that is the rebellion stage of Philip Schlechte's levels of engagement. So as you think through that, you may have a learner that is at that stage. And the reality is they have a ways to go before we can get them to engagement. The next piece I want to talk about as you kind of move up these levels is retreatism. And this is a level up from rebellion, but still a form of that because they're still not willing to pay attention. And there's no commitment. So it's not diverted attention, it's just no attention. So these are those students that oftentimes seem apathetic or just completely disengaged from the task. They're not even gonna make an attempt. They're those kids that you sometimes say, like, you know, you've gotta be doing something right now. What are you doing? And they're just not willing to invest at all. So no attention, no commitment, apathetic, oftentimes seem disengaged, maybe just in another world. Like, where are you at right now? You're definitely not with us. That is retreatism and definitely something that we see often in the classroom. Next, moving on up. So we've got rebellion, retreatism, and then ritual compliance. Now, this is where I think we start getting into where many of our students kind of where they are on this spectrum. I think you're going to see a lot of your students here in these next two pieces. Ritual compliance is low attention and low commitment. So it's not that they're not willing to invest at all, but it's at a very low level. So oftentimes these students are just going to give you whatever effort they can to get by. These are your low achievers. They're going to do it, but they're not going to do it to the best of their ability. They're going to do whatever it takes to just get by. A lot of times these students are doing, they'll do whatever it takes to meet the minimum requirement. So if you say, you know, I need you to write a paper and it can be between 2 and 3 paragraphs, they're going to write a paragraph and a half, right? That's just who they are. So ritual compliance, I'm going to do what you asked me to do, but I'm going to do it at a very minimum level because it's just not that important to me. So we have ritual compliance. The next, we're getting really close to engagement. We've got two more. So the next one is strategic compliance. Now, these kids are tricky. These are the ones that I think you can oftentimes think are engaged. But strategic compliance is more geared toward extrinsic reward. So they're going to do what you ask them to do. So this is high attention, low commitment. So they're going to do what you ask them to do, but it's not because they value the learning. Most of the time, they're doing what you ask them to do because they need something or they expect something extrinsically. For instance, grades. I do a lot of work with gifted learners. And I think about those gifted learners who aren't necessarily engaged. They're not necessarily willing to invest, but they're more just willing to do whatever you need them to do because they want to get the 95 or they want to get the 100. And so these kids are oftentimes driven by that. And if they can't get the grade that they want, or they can't get whatever it is that they need, they'll oftentimes abandon the work and they won't do what it is that you expect them to do. And so the reality is these kids don't retain what is learned. It doesn't stick with them because they're just doing it to get whatever they need out of it. And I think that's important because I think this is where a lot of our kids tend to fall. Those students that we think are engaged, and then all of a sudden we realize, wait a second, the learning didn't stick with them. They learned it for that short amount of time, but then didn't remember it long term. That's because it was strategic compliance, high attention, low commitment. I'm going to do what you need me to do in this moment to get what I need to get, but make no mistake, this is not meaningful to me, and I'm not going to invest in it enough for it to stay with me beyond the walls of this classroom. So we've got rebellion, retreatism, ritual compliance, strategic compliance, and then we have engagement. You can probably guess engagement is high attention and high commitment. And I would say that true engagement is usually a result of intrinsic motivation. The learning is meaningful for them. They find value in it. And because they value the learning, they are willing to invest and they are willing to commit to whatever it is that you're asking them to do. And so even when things get difficult, even when things get hard, if we have that high attention and high commitment, that's true engagement. That is a willingness to invest in the learning. And so as you think about those levels of engagement, one more time, rebellion, retreatism, ritual compliance, strategic compliance, and ultimately engagement, it's not a bad idea to privately just kind of think through these and think through your learners and ask yourself, where are they on this spectrum? Do you have a couple of kids who are in that rebellion part? Do you have a few kids who are actually, you know, they just retreat and they daydream and they disengage? Do you have some kids who are just compliant, right? Maybe it's ritual compliance, maybe it's strategic compliance, but they're not learning because they're intrinsically motivated to do so. They're learning to check off a box. And then asking, what percentage of my class is truly engaged? And I think, you guys, this can help us as teachers, because so often it can feel like, I know that when I was in the classroom, so often it would feel like I was just spinning my wheels. And we all know that spinning your wheels as an educator can be really frustrating and can ultimately even result in some serious burnout. So I have to tell you, it wasn't until I began as an educator to prioritize engagement in my classroom that the learning and the work that I was asking my students to do became meaningful. And when it became meaningful, they became engaged. They were willing to invest. But I had to become super purposeful and very intentional about prioritizing engagement. And it didn't really matter what I thought engagement should look like or what I thought should engage them. All that mattered was what did. And there were times that I had to do things that I thought I would never do in the classroom to get their attention, to engage them, to get them to that willingness to invest. There were times that it was something really small that I did that got them to that willingness to invest. But ultimately, that had to be my priority for me to enjoy being in the classroom again and to get to a place where I didn't feel like I was spinning my wheels. I knew that what we were doing was having an impact and that they were remembering that concept, idea, or standard after they walked out of my classroom. And it resulted in me wanting to be in the classroom. It resulted in my learners wanting to be in the classroom. It changed everything. I think that's why I'm so passionate about engagement, because as I look back on my classroom experience, you know, I talk about Genius Hour and passion-based learning, and that definitely changed everything for us. But ultimately, it was purposeful engagement. Me considering, hey, how can I really make this a place that they want to be and that they don't just want to be, but that they're invested in. And so as we kind of talk through that, it's important to consider, how do we do that? I've recently been having lots of conversations about intervention and how we help learners who don't understand. I just did a podcast on that recently. And as I kind of think through that, I was rewatching Daniel Pink's TED Talk on intrinsic motivation. And in that video, he talks about three different ways that we can be motivated. And so he talks about mastery, autonomy, and purpose. And I think those are really important to consider when we think about engagement, because if true engagement is driven by intrinsic motivation, we have to know what motivates our learners. Is it mastery? Is that what's going to get them to want to be a part of the experience? Is it autonomy? Is it putting them in the driver's seat and letting them play a role in that? It's always a good idea, by the way. Or is it purpose? And I have to say, purpose is kind of my favorite, because I think anytime you can help your learners understand why they're learning something and how it connects beyond the walls of the classroom, that is going to amplify the level of engagement. Because all of a sudden, I understand what this means for me. when I understand what it means for me, it automatically becomes more meaningful. And so I also talked about this a few podcasts back. I'm so sorry I didn't go back and look up the episode numbers, but you can find it. It was called Purpose Statements. And I just talked about how it's not a bad idea to have your learners write purpose statements. Today I learned blank so that I can blank. And it's the so that I can part of that statement that helps them understand, I didn't just learn this to check off a box. This wasn't about compliance. I learned this today so that I can go do this. And it shifts them from that passive place of learning into that active place of learning, which we're about to talk about why that's so important. So Schlechte's levels of engagement, definitely something to look at. You can find tons of graphics for this, articles written, so many great resources around this idea. But just being intentional about knowing what those are and where your learners fall on that spectrum, I think is important. Okay, so let's move to these three simple questions that I think that you can ask as your learners, as you are asking yourself, are they engaged? Are they engaged or are they compliant? And so three simple questions I think you can ask. Number one is, are they active? Are they active in what we're doing or are they passive? Is this happening to them or are they actually involved? And I think when you see that shift from them moving from that passive state of learning into that active state of learning, they're actually doing something that can move us closer to that engagement piece. Sometimes it can rocket us right to engagement if we're honest. But I think asking yourself every day as you design a learning experience, is this going to require my learners to be passive? Are they just going to be sitting there taking on whatever it is that I'm giving them? Or how can I make it active? How can I give them an opportunity to play a role? We know how important that is, right? How today's, this generation loves to be immersed in experiences, to feel like they are a part of it. And so as we're designing experiences, we should consider that. How can I make them a part of what we're doing today versus just sitting in a desk and listening to me give them information? So question number one, are they active? Question number two, pretty sure you could see this one coming. Are they willing to invest? I say this all the time. That is what engagement is. It is a willingness on their part to invest in the learning. I am willing as a learner to do whatever it is I need to do to understand this content. I'm not expecting to be spoon-fed. I am invested in it because I understand why it's important to me. So number two, are they willing to invest? And number three, the last question is, are they asking questions? Are they asking you questions? Are they asking each other questions about the learning? Are they asking questions beyond the walls of the classroom? I think when they begin to ask questions, that is their, that's a willingness to invest. That's them being active. It's like taking all of the pieces that we know are important for engagement and it actually showing up. And so anytime your students start to ask questions, you can know that you're getting closer and closer to that true engagement that we need and that we want in our classrooms for our learners to truly understand whatever it is that we're asking them to learn. So gosh, I hope this was super helpful. I do want to share one more resource because I think I forgot to do this. And so if you haven't seen this, you definitely want to check it out. If you have heard of these, maybe just go give yourself a refresher course. The 8 C's of engagement. I always say we talk so often about engagement and how important it is. Very rarely do we say like, here's how you do that. And for me, when people say, you know, how do I engage my learners? The answer is always the 8 C's of engagement. So these are from The Thoughtful Classroom. And so Harvey Silver, Matthew Perini, Robert Marzano, I believe they were the ones who created this. But there are several great resources online where you can find the 8 C's of engagement. It's just a list of curiosity, connections, controversy. I'm not going to go through all of them, but really just a list. You guys get the idea of different things that you can use at the beginning of class, throughout class, to get to that willingness to invest. So I hope this was helpful. I would encourage you to, like I said, be intentional about privately thinking through your class and where your students are on Schlechte's levels of engagement. And then ask yourself those three questions every single day as you're designing an experience. Is this experience going to require my learners to be active? Is it going to ignite a willingness to invest? And is it going to result in them asking questions? And if it's going to do those things, then you know you've set yourself up for engagement. And if those things actually happen, you know that your learners have moved from being compliant to being engaged. And you guys, I'm telling you, that is where it's at. That's the sweet spot of education. When your learners are engaged and invested, for us as educators, that is such a great feeling. And we stop feeling like we're spinning our wheels and we start realizing that we're doing what it is that we were created to do. So thank you so much for listening to the podcast. I hope this information was helpful. I hope that you have a great morning, afternoon, night. I don't know when you're listening to this podcast, but thanks again for listening and I'll talk to you soon. Thank you so much for taking time out of your day to learn with me today. I absolutely love this community and enjoy sharing and learning with you. Check out today's episode notes by swiping up in most podcast apps. If you'd like to learn and connect more, you can follow me over on Twitter at McNairAN3, and you can find me on Instagram and Facebook at A Meaningful Mess. You can always find tons of resources, inspiration, and information over on my website, andymcnair.com. Be sure to check out my blog, Genius Hour resources, and so much more. Enjoy the rest of your day, and as always, I hope that today's episode has inspired you to find meaning in your mess.